I'm up and running. Hallelujah. Well, good. Got it. Okay. Should I touch that? Say it where it says got it? Just no, just
Keep
keep
away.
going. Okay. Keep away. Boy. Yes, I'm just supposed to talk. I'm so glad you guys love me. Of course, you have to. It's in the contract. Got that from my father-in-law. Let's just open this up in prayer. Lord, I praise, thank you that Luke 24, the great gospel of Luke, Lord, wow, the great physician, and everything that he talks about here, he just lays it out so beautifully about what happened in the life of Jesus Christ. And what I'm supposed to do here this morning is to bring it up to this day and age, to bring it forth to these guys and whoever is listening to me, that it will be of a benefit to their ears, and that it will help to supercharge their lives as they listen to this last chapter, and to go forth and do what they're supposed to do with this word. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to start out here, and I'm just going to sort of kind of read it. And some of the things I'm going to bring out, one of the things that I notice about Luke and about the whole gospel situation is the difference between the walk in the spirit and the walk in the flesh. Because I understand clearly what it is to be human, but Jesus keeps going over to the spiritual side of life, and all of a sudden he plugs it in, and people are not, they're just like, he that does it through a word picture called parables, or he does it, just does it the way he does it, and it's fantastic the way that Christ lived, okay? Chapter 4, 24, verse 1. Now, by the way, anybody who has notepaper, get ready. And I'm telling you why, because I got a whole lot of scriptural references here that you might want to take note of, because this particular Bible is absolutely the most fantastic Bible I ever got. It's a Jewish Voice Victory Study Bible. On the first day of the week, by the way, this is the NIV. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? If that was asked of you, you would say, wait a minute, this is a burial place, and in my humanness, all I can do is look for the dead. And all of a sudden, he's not there anymore, and we want an explanation." So these two guys are standing there saying, but he's alive. And then all the things that he taught, but they're in such a state of fright. And so what's really amazing to me is that the Lord allowed women to be the first ones who saw him, who actually saw the conditions that there were of the empty tomb. But that's what happened. Okay, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. News. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. So when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all of the others. Now, I need you to understand something that is really profound to me, and that is, when the women came back and these guys are trying to figure out what in the world is going on with what these women, we can't trust what they're saying because it's just a bunch of nonsense. And it says so here. They didn't even want to trust what they said. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Amazing. You can't do that today. Women have to be listened to. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what has happened? So here's the whole scene, and they're trying to figure out this Jesus. All everything within them had to start. Well, let's go back in there, Mama. What did he say again? Do we remember it? Gee, we're all just humans here. And it happened. Profound. Jesus and his words and his prophecy are real. But it's spiritual. We walk in our flesh every single day. We try to believe things, but yet we have this battle. We have to deal with our hearts. And then your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, challenges everything that you read. And you're trying to figure out what to do with everything that happens to you. So having said that, so on the road to Emmaus. Okay, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other. Now Jesus begins to play a little trick here, and this is his game. And when I read this, I say, boy, the Lord has a sense of humor. I mean, he knows what's going on, and yet he doesn't even reveal his identity to these travelers. He just refuses to, and I find that amazing. You guys find that amazing? He just kind of walked with them, and just say, well, let's see what they know. Okay. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So the fact of the matter was, it was his identity that was kept from being revealed. So he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood there. Jesus knew what was going on perfectly well, but they didn't. So they stood, their faces downcast. And can you imagine yourself standing there? This guy's just, you know, we're all sad. Our faces are done. Here's the Savior of the world standing next to you, not revealed. Profound moment. Can you imagine standing next to the Savior guy, and he has decided to keep his identity from you? And he did that. He said, listen, let me see what they know. So they stood there with their faces down. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? So the profundity of the whole thing is this is in the clarity of what Jesus is trying to accomplish at that moment, because Cleopas doesn't have a clue who that was that's standing next to him, and Jesus was not about to reveal it to him because he was testing him. Like he said, what things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Let me tell you about yourself. So he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. I'm up to verse 20, by the way, if you want to know. And all the people, the chief priests and our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now, take a look at that sentence. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, like he failed or something. And that's not the truth at all, because Jesus was just testing him. But here these guys are saying, watch, look what happened. And we were hoping, and there they are standing there in the human that's not figuring out that the power of God is standing right next to them. So, and what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, since our women are amazed us, they went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, now, here the Lord, he's finally beginning to get tired of this. And he looks at them, and he comes down on a little hard. And he says, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Where are we today? People are not believing. They're too busy with life. Too busy here, too busy there, too busy here, too busy there, too busy there. And they don't want to even stop to listen. But Jesus is saying, hey, the important, what's important to you? Well, I don't know. I haven't learned anything yet because I'm too busy doing everything else that the world is throwing at me. How many people do you run into that's just like that? Everybody.
How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?
Now, what would they know about his glory unless it was him standing there in front of them?
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
As they approached the village, verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. And, you know, and why is that in there? Why was Jesus going on as if to continue, as if going further? Why? It's like they wanted to catch him and realize that somebody special was with them. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So they talked him into staying with them. So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table, okay, truth be told now, enough of this game playing. Jesus says, okay, you just wait till I break this bread. You're going to find out who I am. But that's his will. That's his agenda. That's his plan. So what I'm trying to tell you guys today is, and the Lord just revealed this to me, what's his agenda in your life? When are you waiting for God to break bread with you and reveal himself to you in even a greater way? That's a profound question. So he was at the table with them. He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and gone. He disappeared from their sight. Can you imagine me sitting there talking to the Lord Jesus, and poof, next minute he's gone. The next verse is incredible. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Man, I could stand here for 20 minutes on that verse all by itself. Guys, I don't want to talk about myself because I get in trouble by certain people who don't like it when I talk about myself. But I want to tell you this. After 50 years of being in the Lord, I am still opening up this word and finding out that my heart can burn within me when I read it. Why don't I do that more? Hey, Joe, why don't you do that more? And I could ask anybody, why don't we do this more? Why? Because you get stronger. You actually physically get stronger reading the Word of God. I found that out. The more you read the Word of God and take notes, God's got waiting. He's waiting. He's always waiting to be with you. And I mean, there are songs written about this, how he waits for our time. This I don't take. I take notice of it. And saying, oh, well, now I'm going to give him 30 minutes. Have a notebook ready. See what he's got to say. Put the pen to the notebook. Watch what he tells you. And I'm telling you, sometimes I go right to sleep because I get so content in the Lord. I don't know if that happened to you, but I tend to, after reading the Word of God, and get deeper and deeper and deeper into that moment with him. But it's following reading the Word of God because I get fed. Amen? So getting fed. So they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, by the time I get down to the end of this thing, while they were yet talking, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now, you're sitting in a room, you're not ready for this. And the Messiah, who is not invited, all of a sudden, there he is, and he's standing in front of you. And he's startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. I mean, they're saying, wait a minute, he died. The flesh is saying, wait a minute, he died. Wait a minute, he died. Wait, he's standing there. And they're all startled. And the difference between the flesh and the spirit are divided right there, because the spiritual man within me or within you guys would leap to the moment. Because you're going to get fed because the Savior of God is standing in front of you. Wow. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. They still didn't believe it. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. They're startled. They're scared. They're sitting there. Then he said, when he said this, he said, okay, give me a piece of fish. I'll eat it so you understand that I'm not a ghost.
And while they stood in the joy of amazement, he had anything to eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in his presence.
Now, here's the big deal. He said to them, well, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So then at that moment, Christ is in absolute full control of revealing the substance of what he's all about. So at that moment, he opened their minds as they could understand the scriptures. It's like the power of what God does. And at a moment's notice, because he desires you to go deeper with it. And the more that you spend time with him, the deeper his word gets, the stronger you get, the more you get of the tools, guys, that you get throughout life so that you can attain the things that God wants you to attain through the power of his word. Amen? Yeah.
Okay. This is what is happening in scripture. So he told him, this is what is meant. There is the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
Okay, now we're coming down here to the end of where he's about to be taken up into heaven to be with the Lord. And I want you guys to understand that Jesus wasn't through. That was the beginning, because the disciples were about to get empowered from on high there in Acts 1:8. And I hope you all know what that verse says. But I'm telling you guys that the most important thing is what do we do with this today? How do we let this permeate our spirits? How do we let this go into our souls and feed our souls and make us ready for what God has, he has assigned for you in this life? Now, I have said to many of you guys here to have notebook ready, because I've got these reference verses that I want to give to you. So if you're ready to take down some notes, here they are, and this is going to be rapid. So I just want you to know there's a bunch of them here. Okay, let's talk about the empty tomb. Where was the place on that? That was in Jerusalem. And that happened on Resurrection Sunday. Where is that? Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. And John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And then has he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden in Jerusalem? That happened on Resurrection Sunday. Then Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 11. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. And then to the other women in Jerusalem, that was Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10. Okay, and then to the two people going to Emmaus, that was the road to Emmaus. And then that's also in Mark chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, and of course what I just read. And then to Peter, Jerusalem, that's Luke.
And there's no other verse for that, but here in Luke.
And as 24, verse 34.
To the 10 disciples in the upper room.
Yeah, it would be Luke 24, what I just got through reading. And it's also in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 25. Okay, and to the 11, okay. To seven disciples while fishing in the Sea of Galilee, that's sometime later. Well, where is that? That's John chapter 21, verses 1 through 23. Okay, so there's
to more than 500. That's kind of unknown. The place where this that's sometime later.
And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. And in James,
again, 15 verse 7. So to his disciples and his ascension on the Mount of Olives 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. That's in Luke 44 through 49, which I just got through reading. And also in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And then to Paul in Damascus. There are several years down the road. And there's three verses that go to that. And that's chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Chapter 22, verses 3 through 16. 26, verses 9 through 18. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Now, the important thing is when you do your own study here of what's going on in Luke, is that the questions you might want to ask yourselves is, well, how am I being prepared? Amen? How am I being prepared for what God wants me to do with this? How am I being set up? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life as to how this is supposed to affect the people to I see and I come in contact with, perhaps even your own families? You know, some of you guys got wives. I don't have one anymore, but that's okay. But what is important is that what are you going to do with it today? How are you going to let that shine today? You don't even know. You know, what's God's agenda? What's his plan? Now, I realize I carry around this little prayer of abandonment with me, but it means an awful lot to people who don't have a clue about who God is. And I run into that all the time, whether it's a waitress or somebody that's at the grocery store. But I am constantly looking for moments to where I can spread his word and be very reticent, as the word would say. I think that's the word Holy Spirit's giving me, and be prepared as to what it is that he might be setting me up for. Boy, you have no idea how hungry people are for the things of God. And this whole chapter says, get ready. This is what happened. This is what he can do. This is what he's all about. You're still being discipled. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord, whether it's 10 minutes or 50 years. The point is, we're still being discipled every single day, every single moment. And it humbles me to think that I'm not there yet. Like you guys, you're on a journey, huh? Each and every one of us are on a journey of his word. Each and every one of us are filled with what God wants to do. Why? Because we have accepted him. We want him to be rule, reign, governor. What does it really mean to make Jesus Lord of your life? Boy, wake up in the morning, just dedicate your day to him. And Jesus is just looking for your heart. He wants to sit down with you and just tell him you love him. Ask him to rule, reign, and govern in your day. I did that this morning, and here I am speaking to you guys. But I want you to understand that, you know, I've been a part of this group for a long time. But every chance that I get, I'm going to try to find some way to share God's word and the power of his word so that I can help you guys in any way, shape, form, or manner. So after having said all that, I'm going to go ahead and end this up with a prayer. Is that all right? You guys had enough? All right. So, Father, I ask you to bless these men with these words that here in Luke 24, as we wind up this gospel. And I'm thanking you, Lord, that we've had such a tremendous influx of your word and your power of your spirit in going and doing whatever it is that your plan, your purpose, and your pursuit is for each and every one of us men, and for our wives, and for anyone that we come in contact with today. Let us be beacons of light unto them that are perishing. Let us be strong in the power of his might and share your love and truly put on the love of Christ into everyone that we come and see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.